So the Jays kickstart in St. Louis, and Alek Manoah gets the ball opening day. This time last year, it was a formality, Jose Berríos. This time next year, will it still be a formality? It's Manoah. Let's get into that and more. Here's our TSN MLB analyst, our good guy, our good man, Steve Phillips. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you guys. And always good to come in after a reference for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. it's always a great intro leading in with that. But, you know what? I think you can take it to the bank. Manoah will be the opening day starter next year, too.
You're willing to – you're locking it in right now. Because last year was Berríos for the next 7 years,
yeah.
Right? Everyone knew Berríos was the man.
Yeah. I'm locking in, and I bet no dog's money on it that it's going to stay that way, too.
Okay.
Well, Steve, let me ask you. There was talk about Gausman and his performance that possibly he would be the opening day starter or might be in consideration. And there's been a lot of talk this year about athletes and them getting bent out of shape from coaches' comments. Is it like a massaging type thing where you got to tell people, like, are people's feelings hurt or do they see the writing on the wall that this is deserved and Manoah's the guy?
Yeah, I think there's a chance people's feelings can be hurt. I mean, you know, for instance, you got Verlander and Scherzer in New York, and they didn't really like each other all that much when they played in Detroit. Now they're teammates again, and I think I saw Scherzer's got the start for the Mets on opening day, and Verlander I think is probably okay with that, and they're going to manage innings for everybody through the year. But I think it's an issue. I think that there are, you know, when there are two worthy guys there, and it's interesting that in Los Angeles, Julio Urias is getting the opening day start. Kershaw is like, absolutely, he's earned it. I mean, but Kershaw started 9 times. Like, it's okay with him. I think there's internal competition. There's nothing wrong with that. And I do think you have to massage it a little bit and go that way. And you can't just ignore that Felix. And here's the thing. It may be like, oh, seriously, I gotta go take care of this guy. Well, if you want him to perform for you, then the answer is yes. You're going to have to sort of play with him and nurture his emotions a little bit, because your job is to get the most out of the players, and you can't just say, well, forget it, grow up, you know, just deal with it, because that's not how you get the most out of your guys. You got to be aware of emotions.
Steve, who do you think for the Jays is the candidate for a big breakout year?
You know, I really think the Varsho pickup is huge. He's a guy that is on the verge of figuring everything out. And, you know, he's a power guy with like 27 home runs. He can steal bases. He's got a real shot at being a 30-30 player, just coming into his own. He fits in perfectly with age and mentality. I mean, he looks like one of those guys that's on the van with the travel team, with Bichette and Guerrero and those guys. Like, they just look like they show up. They don't care who they're playing. They just want to play. He's that kind of guy. He's really excited about playing, and I think getting locked in one position for him, where, you know, he's kind of caught a little bit, he's played some center field, I think just getting locked in one spot will be good for him. I think the change of scenery is going to be good for him, and I think he's on the verge of really becoming a breakout player.
Steve, with Manoah and Gausman, I think they're quality guys, their work ethic and their performance is pretty much locked down. Berríos, like, where is your confidence level that he is going to respond this year? And do you think that he has an understanding that he's under the gun and he needs to be obviously, clearly, way better?
Yeah, I mean, he is one of the nicest young men you're ever going to meet, and he may even overcare. Like, he cares so much. You know, sometimes those guys who are a little bit aloof, where they don't take in the failure, tend to be a little better in baseball. You know, I was somebody who cared as a player so much, and I played with Kevin Mitchell. He'd go over 3, and he wouldn't care. He'd make an error, he wouldn't care. I'm like, oh, man, I'm letting the team down. What are the guys in the bullpen thinking about me? And you can't be that way. Berríos is kind of hypersensitive, but you like that guy. He's the kind of kid you want your daughter to marry. I mean, he really is a real gentleman. But I do think that he was better this spring. I think they have a plan for him, and so we won't know until the real lights turn on. You know, spring training performance can really fool you. It can be fool's gold, or, you know, you can think, oh, geez, this guy's done, and he comes bouncing back, and you don't know until you know, and that's really when the lights turn on, and the pressure's different, and you're breathing differently, and, you know, the energy's different, it counts, you know, and the numbers matter, so... I think that he's better, and I think he will be better. He's made of the right stuff. He's a hardworking kid. He cares so much. And I think the key for him is he's got, you know, when he works ahead of the count, he's got to learn to expand the strike zone. You know, my thing is he tries to throw every pitch over the plate. And when you're ahead in the count, you've got to start it on the plate and break it off the plate. And that's where I think he sometimes gets himself in trouble. But, you know, Pete Walker's a really good pitching coach. The kid is really hardworking and cares a ton. He knows. He's feeling the pressure. He wants to do well. But he had pretty good outings. His last time out was pretty good. So we'll see if it can propel him forward.
With Steve Phillips, so down in Dunedin, they put forth a lineup that looks like it could be in place come opening day next week. And to no one's surprise, you get Springer hitting leadoff, then into Bichette, then into Guerrero. Then it gets a little bit intriguing, where Brandon Belt was DH'ing today, left-handed hitter, then into Kirk, then into Varsho, left-handed hitter, Chapman, Merrifield, Kiermaier hitting ninth. Once you get past the top three, which I think we all accept will be in place and should be in place, Springer into Bichette into Vladdy, how important do you think it is for this team to have a balance of lefties and righties coming up to the plate?
I think it's really important. And the reason I do is from talking to managers that managed against the Blue Jays, they said they were an easier team to manage against in the late innings. And, you know, against the starter, you know, it's one thing. But when teams could come out there with dominating right-handers, with wipeout sliders, with an all-right-handed lineup, they could just get into a rhythm, and it was easy to manage against the Jays. And talking to managers this year, they're like, yeah, it's going to be a much different look with the left-right match and combinations that they have for us to navigate the game with the relievers we want, where, you know, the slider just wiped them out the last time, but now we're going to be throwing a slider down and into a left-hander, and they're going to take us out of the ballpark. So we've got to really sort of manage our way through their game. It's a big difference. And Belt's a real professional hitter. Varsho's got some, you know, really great tools that can impact the game with power and speed. And Kiermaier, you know, look, Kiermaier, he was saying the right thing in spring training. You know, he's a talker. His thing was, I just got to get on base. I don't have to worry about power. I just need to get on base. And I just need to get on base so the top of that order, Springer, can drive me in. And that's really the key. They need the nine-hole hitter to be a second leadoff man so that Springer can drive in some runs.
You just mentioned Springer. He's so important, Steve. Leadership, intangibles, the clutch gene, all of the stuff that he's done throughout his career. In the last couple of years, he's been often injured. How would you handle that if you were mapping out a plan for him? Is it something where he's just so important, you sit in a meeting room with the skip and everybody and you just say, throw him out there, and if it happens, it happens? Or would you try to devise some type of plan to kind of make sure he's more available in the lineup on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, you know, his injuries are because he plays with reckless abandon.
Sure.
You know, he's diving and sliding and crashing into walls. You know, and so you think, okay, well, let's move him to right field. Well, there's no walls in right field. And so, you know, he's going to have to, and he is not one that you're going to pull back. I asked him about it. Do you ever think about it? He goes, I can't play that way. I'm just going to play the way I play and go out there. You know, they'll try to manage the playing time a little bit, but they need him in the lineup. He just needs, you know, and somewhat you need good luck. You need good fortune. You need to not have that pop-up flare where he collides with Bichette and has to come out of the game, where he's crashing into the wall all the time. And so in Kiermaier, the good news is Kiermaier covers the gaps extremely well. And Kiermaier, as the center fielder, has the priority. So when he calls it, Springer has to peel off. He can't just dive for it. When you're the center fielder, you go for everything. And so I think he can be protected just a little bit just because of the change in position.
With Steve Phillips. So this past week, we obviously saw the end of the World Baseball Classic, and it culminates with Ohtani versus Trout. Now, everyone's got a take on Ohtani versus Trout, and furthermore, the standing of Shohei Ohtani, not only in the modern game, but in terms of history and where he may stand. Your clip with Mad Dog has been going viral. We've been talking about it here, Steve. It sounds as if you're a proponent of Shohei being the greatest player in baseball history. Is that true?
Explain where you stand on this. So here's the thing. He's doing things that nobody else has ever done, including Babe Ruth. And so people put that on Babe Ruth. Now, Ohtani doesn't have the longevity of Ruth. But the reality is, Babe Ruth, there's quotes out there. Babe Ruth said, you can't be a pitcher and a player and do both. It's just your body can't handle it. Now, Ohtani has the advantage of being a DH, where, you know, Babe Ruth didn't have that available to him. But, you know, Babe Ruth played, when he played, there were eight teams. He played seven other teams in the American League when he was playing. Seven. He didn't travel west of St. Louis when he played. And he didn't play against some of the best Negro League players that were playing then. And so he wasn't playing against all the best players in the world at the time. Where, you know, you look at Ohtani and what he's doing coming over here in the States and what he did in Japan and in Major League Baseball. And, you know, he is doing that against the best. And he's doing it. He's doing what Ruth didn't do. Ruth, then what starts Ruth made in the season was 20. Ruth pitched in one game when he went to the Yankees. He didn't pitch. He wasn't a two-way player for the Yankees. He only did it in the 2 years, really, with the Red Sox. And so what Ohtani's doing, nobody else has come close to doing. And, oh, by the way, Babe Ruth didn't throw 102 miles per hour on a 1-2 fastball down and away to Mike Trout. He's such a unique player, and nobody's ever been able to do what he's doing right now. Now, does that make him the best player ever? You know, he's doing something nobody else has ever done, and he's doing it at an elite level, and Babe Ruth didn't do what he did. Now, Babe Ruth went on to have a long career. He hit a lot of home runs. You know, Chris Russo points out that he hit more home runs than were hit in the league 1 year, and I'm like, okay, well, that's great, but it was like 19 or 20 home runs. It wasn't like a record-setting number. So Babe Ruth was great, and yet, you know, when we try to compare players across generations, it's always a difficult, across eras, it's a real difficult thing to do. But what I do know is nobody's done what Ohtani's doing, ever. Not even Babe Ruth.
Well, yeah, we've been discussing it a lot as well. And my thing is trying to define what Ohtani is, because everyone uses the same terms, right? He's a unicorn. Right. He's unique. He's doing things we've never seen before. All of that is indisputable. But he's not the greatest hitter of all time. No one thinks that. And he's not the greatest pitcher of all time. No one thinks that. So
right.
It's like impossible to have the conversation because he's a one of one, right? Like Ruth is one thing, but he's not as good as Willie Mays. He's not as good as Barry Bonds or Hank Aaron. And then on the pitching side, you could come up with 20 guys who are a better pitcher than Ohtani easily.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to define
it. Right. Yeah. So he is a Cy Young candidate every year as a pitcher. He is a Cy Young candidate. Some people will tell you know, the odds are not bad for him as a Cy Young Award winner this year for the American League. He also has a chance to be, as a hitter, be a top home run hitter in the league. And he's that unique combination of power and speed that is, you know, so rare as it is and so impactful in the game. You know, somebody did a story when they tried to figure out, well, who is he? And they came up with, he's Zach Wheeler, Carlos Rodon as a pitcher, and he's Bryce Harper as a hitter. Okay, now Bryce Harper is going to be a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. So that was the comparison. So they were trying to figure out what he was going to get paid, but those were the comparisons they gave him as to what he is as a player. And when you think about that combination, that is more valuable and more impactful for any single team than any single player has ever been. Now, we could say Babe Ruth hit 714 home runs, but he wouldn't have if he played against the best players of the day. Mm-hmm. If he played against the Latino players and the black players that were playing in the Negro Leagues, he would never hit 714 home runs. And Ted Williams probably wouldn't have hit 406. And Joe DiMaggio probably wouldn't have had a 56-game hitting streak because they didn't play. All those records and all those performances were done when they weren't playing against Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson and all the black players that were playing in the Negro Leagues back in the day. Now, it doesn't take away. They were the best players of their era when they played and everything else. But when you look at Ohtani, nobody has impacted the game in the way that he has. Nobody.
No. Like, again, I'm not disputing that, but
forget
the old guy. Like, you could just use modern play. Like, at the plate, no one's taken Ohtani over A-Rod. No one's taken Ohtani over Pujols. I'm not.
Right.
Like, he's a great hitter, but he's
right
not better
that.
Than
right.
Bonds, you
right.
know, in his prime.
Right. Yeah, no, I would agree. Right. But it would be like Tom Brady. It would be not Tom Brady. It would be like, who would we say? A great quarterback. A real. It would be, Steve Young.
Is it Eli Manning or something, or Steve Young?
Yeah.
Roethlisberger.
Yeah, or Eli Manning, you know, who won championships and also played linebacker, right? He's
right.
quarterback and linebacker, and he's a Pro Bowl linebacker.
It's crazy.
Right.
Yeah, it is crazy. He is the most valuable. I think he's got to be the highest paid. I guess I have a difficult time. It's almost like he's played himself out of the debate, is my point, Steve. Because you can't compare, like Willie Mays didn't throw the ball. Like he didn't step on the mound and have a 250 ERA. Like it's absurd.
Right.
It's absurd.
Right. Yeah, he's the only one, right? And now, remember, the whole Jordan-LeBron debate, you know, it turned into they were both players, but LeBron did things that Jordan never did, right? Because he could go inside, play outside, and everything else. And but people always kept saying Jordan, Jordan, Jordan. And everybody else that would say LeBron said, yeah, but LeBron does things Jordan couldn't do. And in that debate and argument, where do you go from there? Because Jordan didn't play the game the same way as LeBron did. Now, this is a little different because it is baseball, and the way we defend and pitch versus hitting is different than the basketball argument. But when players do things that other guys didn't do, it becomes really difficult. How do you compare the greatest hitter of the day versus the greatest pitcher of the day? You know, and who's more valuable? Was it Willie Mays or was it Nolan Ryan mm-hmm. over the years? And because they play different positions, we don't know. The reality is that we can compare Ohtani to both those guys and at least have a conversation.
Yeah, it is something else, man. I can't wait to see what he brings. I can't wait to see him hit free agency if he does, because that is going to be a whirlwind. We'll leave it there, Steve. We appreciate it, buddy, and we're getting close to go time, so we'll be chatting with you a lot down the stretch here, and we look forward to that too.
I always enjoy it, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Steve Phillips, our TSN MLB analyst and our good buddy, Steve Phillips.